Welcome to the Women and Wealth Podcast with Esther Szabo. Esther is a respected leader in the field of personal financial advice with over 25 years of experience. After going through her own significant and challenging life-changing events, she overcame fear and self-doubt to launch her own successful advisory firm. Now Esther is ready to share her practical and personal experiences to help other women clear their hurdles and brave life's transitions. In this way, she inspires women to lead fulfilling and confident lives.
Hello and welcome to Women and Wealth with Esther Szabo from Gates Pass Advisors. Today, we're going to find out what the heck's going on with Esther. How are you, Esther?
What the heck is going on with Esther?
That's right.
I'm doing very well. I'm very excited about what's going on with Esther.
Me too, but I don't know you. Well, I know some things. You've shared some things with me already. But today, we're diving deep into what makes Esther Esther, right? So I don't know where we're starting. Why don't you take me down this path?
Sure. Well, I'm going to start with talking about the stages of transition, because I am going through a couple transitions. We might just get to one today, but it's from the work of William Burroughs, and he did a lot of study on transitions. And we've taken that work in the Financial Transitionist Institute and added an additional stage. But my clients are used to seeing this. I have this in my office on a stand, but it's the stages of transition. Okay. And the first one is anticipation. The next is ending. So anticipation is, it's somewhat self-explanatory. One is thinking about something that is going to happen in the future. It could be the sale of a business. It could be a divorce. It could be a retirement. So one's anticipating that this is going to be happening. Then there is the stage of ending, where there's no going back. One has retired. When my husband passed away, the marriage was ended. It was an ending for me then. When someone sells a business, they're no longer the owner of that business. So there's a very clear demarcation. And the traditional thought is one goes immediately from ending to, okay, you have a new life now. And this is what's so challenging often in these transitions, because we know that that's just not the way it goes. And William Burroughs had that stage where he had just ended it with, there's a new normal stage now. But in the financial transitionist work, we've added a whole other stage, which is the stage of passage, where in passage, that can last a few years. And that's where you're testing out the different possibilities with this new situation that you're in. You're trying out things. And there can be a lot of, in any of these, there can be a lot of emotional ups and downs. But this is really just working through that change until one adjusts to the new normal. So I am in the stage of anticipation. I am going to be married in a Woo-hoo. Few months. Yes.
Nice.
It's very exciting. And I'll be married in the early part of October 2019. And I always like to talk with my clients. You know, I am not different from them in terms of, yeah, we all go through transitions. It's not like I, as a certified financial transitionist, it doesn't mean you've achieved all the different transitions and you've gotten a degree in that. As opposed to my certification in financial planning, where you go through different sections on taxes, insurance, estate planning, investments, and then you test on that and you get a certification. This is a little bit different. Certified financial transitionist means we've gone through vigorous study and practice on how we work with clients going through these different stages. And there can be different parts. Again, a transition doesn't necessarily mean it's a devastating situation. There are people who sell their businesses or retire and can't wait to get to that next stage. So there's different characteristics that, that one can be in with, and we divide them into areas that we call flow and struggle. So in flow, one's identity is intact going through the stage. With one struggling, one's identity can be compromised. I know when I lost my husband, it was really weird, kind of not being a wife anymore. It's like that role was gone. And that felt compromising. That was a challenging thing. In flow, one can have clarity. If one's struggling, there can be confusion, overwhelm. There's some brain fog that goes on, which is why I had brought on Anasuya Basil a few sessions ago to talk about dealing with brain fog.
She was a great guest too.
Yes, she was. There's just so many useful things there around navigating that piece. And there's all these other different characteristics. I won't go through them all here, but there's a number of different ways to navigate. And I would say for me, I'm feeling very hopeful and working on being realistic about possibilities, open, collaborative. But it can be when people are going through anticipation, when they're, say, anticipating a divorce, people can feel compromised. Their values can be challenged. Their ability to think clearly, decision-making and prioritizing can be overwhelming. And some of that is definitely going on. There's a lot of decision-making happening right now. And prioritizing that in the midst of a busy life in my practice and other things that are going on, it requires a lot of conscious presence.
Esther, you said the third stage is passages?
Passage, yes.
Passage. Mm-hmm. Would you say that when you have a transition that is, that would have grief, that could be associated with grief, mm-hmm. would you say the passage is takes longer than a transition that maybe has joy associated with it? So not necessarily just focusing on, a death of a spouse or maybe a divorce, right? There's grief involved in that compared to having a baby, right? Or retiring.
Right. Which, I mean,
well, let's leave retirement off the table because that could be a mixed bag. But a wedding, right? The passage part of it, you said you're in the passage stage until you kind of adopt the new norm.
Right.
Right? Is that what you said?
Yeah. Yes.
So the passage stage, I would think that if it's a grief situation, might take longer or probably takes longer than a joyful situation. Would you agree or not?
I would tend to agree only because it's much easier to talk and navigate the emotions around a joyful situation. Mm-hmm. But still, I'm going into a marriage and that can take a couple years to adjust to.
True.
I think the difference there is often what's the support, one really needs a good active support system, I think really in both, but really for grief, because it can be so numbing and that it's even that much more important. And it's a more solitary journey in a way. Everyone's happy to hear about being married, that you don't get as many slip-ups in what people say where they're well-meaning, but say something that's kind of painful without meaning it. You don't get that stuff. So there's more ways to trip, I think, in the passage of grieving, because it's just societally more challenging.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. That's true also because, when my daughter was born, I was in that passage stage for a long time. And right when I got used to her, she moved out. So right when I thought this was the new norm, she left. So right, now I don't know what I'm doing. Now I'm an empty nester with my wife, and it's just weird. It's just weird.
Right. That's you're back in passage.
I don't know how long this passage is going to take me, but it's going to be a while. I'm hoping not to trip up. That's for sure.
Well, yeah. But that may just be part of it. It's okay.
Yeah. All right. So I didn't mean to sidetrack you. What is the next biggest piece that we need to know, that the audience needs to know about this?
Well, one of the things is, as a advisor to my clients, I certainly would advise for women who are being remarried later in life, as anyone might, that they put a prenuptial agreement in place. That's a pretty standard recommendation that I have certainly made. And I eat my own cooking. So of course, I sought out family law attorneys, and I thought, well, this won't be that much different than when David and I did our estate planning when I was in my 30s. Mm-hmm. This won't be that different. I mean, you're getting this document in place and you're talking about things and you're just putting it to writing. And the surprise to me is it's a lot different. It is.
Oh, yeah. How so?
It's different in that you're in this time I'm in this time with my fiance, and we're both very, very happy to have found each other. He experienced loss of a marriage as well, through divorce, not through death. And neither of us thought we would really would be happy with anybody again. It just was like, well, okay, that was that phase. We did it. And now it's just, you know, the next 30 years of our life and whatever. And we're so happy with each other. And we're planning this wedding and we've got our place picked and all this joyous stuff. And then in the middle is feels like, and oh, and I am talking to an attorney. I'm doing a prenup. And it's all about, feels like it's all about, well, what happens if, when we break up?
Yeah, and I think most people's idea of a prenup is that, right? It's guarding against the gold digger, right? They're marrying you for your money, and a prenup is just a one step towards failure. I just think there's a lot of misconceptions out there.
Yeah, it's exactly what it feels like, Eric, and it's not. I mean, we are moving forward with, you know, we like being married. It's the whole commitment, and we continue to do a lot of planning throughout. You know, there are, as I've learned, I didn't know this when I was dating my husband, but there are stages to dating. And the stage that we're in right now is engagement. But each stage, there are, I think, four stages before you get to engagement. And each stage has different things to sort of master in that stage before moving forward. And part of this stage is just really testing out the waters on a lot of different things. And early on, when it looked like we were committing to one another, I mentioned it then. I said, how do you feel about prenups? And he said, I'll sign whatever you want. It's fine. I'm not out for your money. I'm not out for anything. I just, whatever, that's, you know, whatever you want. So I'd sort of felt like we'd had that discussion, but it's very different when you're actually meeting with an attorney. And we're just actually at the very beginning of this process. We're being married in 5 months, and I've provided all my, I have to do what I ask clients to do, which is always a pain. I understand when it's a pain for them. It's a pain for me too. When someone asks me, I need these statements, these documents, get them to me. And it's always a hassle. So I'm empathetic always with clients, but it is talking about the different issues. I have a business. He has a business. And in California, where I live, it's the question of, well, if you have your business and there's a value to it and it appreciates during your marriage, and then there's a separation, then how do we manage? So quote unquote, your business is protected. And it's all about protection against this person that you're swearing the rest of your life to. And it just feels so discordant. So one of the things that this has brought up in terms of transitionist, it's really great to have the financial transitionist framework, even for myself to look at, okay, are we in struggle or are we in flow together? And it is very much still, you know, I'm not withdrawing, he's not withdrawing, there's not combative behavior. We talk about it, and we're actually together seeing a counselor once a month to talk about the different issues, whether they're financial, he has children, that's new for me, I don't have children. So just navigating that whole part of blending a family to some extent. They're young adults, so they're somewhat launched already, but really going to our support team. I think that's so necessary. I see that as a thread all through. It's who do we have as support for us? Who do we go to? Who we can just say, I can just bring up, you know, we're doing this prenup and I know it's the wise thing to do, but I need it reframed because it just does not feel in alignment with my values about marriage.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, it can make it a struggle. But I think that people miss the big picture a lot of times with how a prenup protects a business specifically, or things that you want to do and accomplish for your family, that even though your spouse will be your family and their children and their extended family will be your family, there's still certain things that you want to make sure are protected. Even if it's, I think a prenup also just helps to cover a death scenario as well, because it doesn't allow the family necessarily to go after anything that would have been set for your biological family. Is that correct?
Well, that will be more in the estate plan, because that's the next piece that I'll be addressing. It really is more, the things I had to answer for the attorney, which I didn't expect, not having been through this before. They said, well, tell us relevant medical details about your fiance. And I said, what would make a detail relevant?
Yeah. He has weird body hair. I mean, that's not something they need to know. I don't know. I mean, wow.
And the attorney said, well, you make it relevant. And the issue has to do, as I understand it today, I actually want to do a podcast with him on also, so he can say what it's like from his perspective.
Yeah, that'd
going
be great.
Through this. Yeah. But my understanding today is, what the attorney did tell me is you are the one that makes it relevant. And it could be something like, I mean, he is in his late 50s right now. And if he knows that, I don't know, maybe he has, which he doesn't, thank God, but maybe he has Parkinson's. And mm-hmm. in 10 or 15 years, he won't be able to take care of himself. And so we'll need additional assistance. And so that would be relevant because let's say I know that going into the marriage, but in 10 years, I say, oh, this is getting dicey. I will go ahead. I think I need to end this marriage because he's going to be needing too much care. And he could then legally make a claim saying, well, she knew this going in. So it's just, it's all kind of, again, it just all is going from splitting up. So one of the things, though, that we did talk about in our counseling session on this, and it could be our first counseling session on this, is about the reframing. And this is an issue that comes up quite often in planning. We talk about it in the Financial Transitionist Institute about how to deal with the fact that it is not unusual that in second marriages where that the woman has more assets than the man does. That's not unusual. I think, but just because men tend to, if they're coming out of divorce or have been divorced, they've had to pay alimony and support. And women may not have come out of a divorce needing to do that or whatever their situation is. And so how do we address the fact that also what we know is that men tend to not live as long as women? Mm-hmm. And we know that typically the woman is the primary caregiver for the man in his later years, and that women tend to have fewer assets as a result later because they have provided caregiving to the husband, and the husband may have needed more care. Mm-hmm. So these are discussions that he and I are having, and are addressing. That is more of, for me, what I want to focus on in the prenup process, because he is not able to qualify for long-term care because they have gotten a lot more stringent as per the long-term care podcast we had a couple months ago. Mm-hmm. Yep. And he is a veteran, so he has access to VA benefits. But those are things that to really address and to have agreements about that to some extent, maybe in the prenup, some extent, maybe outside of the prenup, that are discussions that we have about how shall we handle these different issues should they arise.
Yeah. Good.
Well, it is. It's just kind of like, it's much more fun to think about what we'll be wearing on our wedding day.
Yeah, that's right. Not as the ink dry on the prenup before we walk down the aisle. Right. Got it. And the nice thing is, Esther, we know you well enough. At least I do. And the audience, you know, you have to take the opportunity to get to know Esther. She would never, ever, ever say, oh, he's, you know, there's some Parkinson's, I'm out.
You know, yeah, that's
not,
right.
That's not what she's all about. And I mean, that's a huge thing. I mean, getting married is tremendous. And I'm so happy for you. I don't know if I'll make the wedding. I don't know. It's a little far away for me, but I will definitely be sending my best wishes and you know, at least a card. And please don't tell him I said he had weird body hair. That wasn't directed toward him.
I've never even seen him, so.
Yeah, I have never seen him. I'm sure he's a wonderful, you know, non-hairy guy. Anyway, so what else is going on, Esther, that you know, you experience transitions just like any other human being, and we really want your clients and your audience to understand that. What else is going on in your life?
Well, I think it's all, I'm going to still stick with the getting married because I realized We don't live together. And I realized a couple months ago, oh, I've had my house to myself for 5 years. And this, yeah. And I had all my closets redone professionally in 2 years ago, just for me, just for my things. I really did not think I would be living with anyone ever again. And here we are. So we're talking about how to bring in his things, show his things up on the wall. I mean, that's a smaller piece. It's really all the discussion about accommodating someone else and someone else's life. And again, here I go back to one of my favorite resources, which is the organizer. Because so many people are fearful of organizers, and they may have had experiences of an organizer who said, you don't need that, get rid of that. What do you, you know, who are more critical?
Yes. Yep.
I have a wonderful organizer who I've referred to clients over the years, where we collaboratively say, this is what we'd like to use this space for. And she has great suggestions. And he has an interesting personal preference with his clothes that he cannot stand dressers.
Oh, all right.
Doesn't like using dressers because everything's in drawers and you can't see what's there. And he prefers just to have like wire rack shelves where everything is out and visible. And so we're having
what he needs is a tough shed. Do you have room in your yard for a tough shed?
That's been discussed, Eric.
I mean, seriously, that's a huge guy walk-in closet, and he can he can have all the wire racks he wants in a tough shed. I'm not endorsing tough shed, by the way. Just that's the only name I could think of.
Well, that is one of the discussions under the same topic of accommodating his things, because he is a general contractor. He's lots of tools. Yes. Said I could really use a shed in the back, and where it makes the most sense to put the shed is there's a really beautiful tree right there, and it would need to be moved. So. These are just some of the things that, again, it's all on the table, though. This is, I keep going back to this flow. What makes it a flow? For me in the past, one of the things, one of the gifts of the marriage that I had with my husband is just how much I grew up in that marriage from, you know, being with him from age 25 to 49. I just learned so much. We both did about communicating, how to listen, how to be present and not feel forced into decisions. And this is really just such a strong tool as we're negotiating together, is not to go 0 to 60 on how a person responds or what they think, is to be present and be curious about, oh, well, tell me more about how you like your clothes to be visible, where I could go like, oh no, I don't want the house a mess. No, we can't do that. No, there's going to be a mess. It's like, well, don't know that. That's a story I'm making up about how it could look. Tell me more about how this works for you. And are you okay if we bring in the organizer just to talk about that? And he was fine with that. And we talked with her and she's like, oh, I have great suggestions for that and about how to hide things. And so it just took it in a different direction than I might have if I had just been with my own head.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that's really true for financial as well. It's one of the reasons that the financial work that I do with clients is so critical, the engagement, because any of us can just think of one thing about our personal life change and how it's going to look and what's going to happen and how it's going to be and how do we stop something that might happen and how do we continue it. I'll close for now. There's still so much more to talk about, but there's wonderful questions that we ask clients as part of the financial transitionist work as we're going through transition. There's a whole, how do we manage our expectations? How do we manage the expectations of others who may be making suggestions to us about what we should do and not do? And we have these discussions with our clients about what needs to be protected here in your life? What do you really need to be sure there's a moat around that really is protected? And I know in my relationship with my fiance, it's communication. That has to be protected. And how do we do that? How do we listen? How do we say what we need? And that's a lot of what we've built really almost from day one, is just the ability to stop and listen and be present. And then what other resources are available to support the direction that you want to go in, to identify those resources and access to. Because I understand, for example, where the lawyer is going. I see things in financial planning all the time. People say, well, I want to go invest in real estate. And real estate is a fabulous investment. I've just seen people go off and do it and not realize, oh, I'm going to have to maintain a whole other, you know, property. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's going to be tenants coming and going. Oh, there's going to be a tax return, you know, additional work on my taxes. Just not realize, oh, I can get a mortgage, but it's going to be a higher rate than a personal. Insurance is going to be more than personal. So I bring up those more negative possibilities also, just in the hopes of saying, hey, I'm just here to help you look at the overall possibilities from my experience, but let's go through and make the best decision together. And that's really what we do with financial as well. And then what types of things do we want to let go of and not have part of this experience? And I would say the main thing is making up stories about what could go wrong, so to speak, but being realistic about the possibilities. And I'm so grateful to have such a framework to work from. And even though I'm not crazy sometimes about eating my own cooking and following my own advice, I really appreciate stepping through the experience because I think it just makes me a better advisor for my clients.
Esther, before we wrap up, you and I were talking earlier, and I know that you have another example of a transition that you're going through or you're going to be going through. I would love to be able to highlight that on the next podcast. Is that okay with you?
Of course. That's just fine.
All right. Let's give the audience just a little glimpse. We just talked about an upcoming wedding, which can be a very joyous occasion. What is this next transition you're going to talk about?
Well, the other is my mom, who I love dearly. She just turned 95 last week. She still lives independently.
Happy birthday,
Mom. She still lives independently, but she's declining. And she's really been declining for about a year, but really this year, there's a lot more cognitive decline.
Okay.
And working through that transition.
Yeah. All right. That can be tough. And it might not be as fun as this podcast, but well, I know you'll be smiling because you've got plans and you're again, that theme of communication is the biggest thing. So I'm looking forward to that podcast, even though it may be a subject that is tough for some. I encourage everybody to tune in. Thank you, Esther, so much.
Thank you, Eric.
All right. And thank you all for listening to the Women in Wealth podcast with Esther Szabo. If you have not subscribed to the podcast yet, please click the subscribe now button below. This way, when Esther comes out with a new podcast, it'll show up directly on your listening device. This makes it much easier to share these podcasts with your friends and family. Thanks again for listening today. For everyone at Gates Pass Advisors, this is Eric Johnson reminding you to live your best day every day. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Women and Wealth podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you receive notifications of new podcasts as they become available. Check out the website at www.gatespassadvisors.com for more information. This content is developed from sources believed to be providing accurate information. The information in this material is not intended as tax or legal advice. Please consult legal or tax professionals for specific information regarding your individual situation. The opinions expressed and material provided are for general information and should not be considered a solicitation for the purchase or sale of any security.